Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, along with Byron Matthews in for Chris Santiago today. We're Area 45. Glad to be here. Appreciate you joining us. If you'd like to be a part of the show, hit us up, 713-572-4610. 572-4610. You can call or text. Before we get back to the NBA playoffs, we'll get out to the phone lines. Mike in the West Side's been waiting the longest. What's up, Mike?
What's up? West Side, Best Side, man. How y'all doing?
Best Side.
Doing awesome, man. How are you?
Oh, man, hanging in there, man.
It's all you can do, man.
Yeah. Hopefully the humidity don't rise to 100% after this little rain that we done got. But I just wanted to shout out my grandfather on my dad's side. He served and got a Purple Heart in World War II, and he's passed on and everything. And I also shout out my uncle who flew F-16s in the Air Force and did a tour in the Gulf War. And then the other thing I want to ask y'all, man, is this here. How y'all feeling about Isak Paredes after learning that Alex Bregman went on the 10-day IR with a quad injury?
Man, I was feeling pretty good about Isak before that injury, unfortunately, for Alex Bregman. I saw that, but Paredes has been balling.
Yeah, really. I'm just saying. I think the Astros won on that one.
It definitely makes you feel better about a guy in Isak Paredes who's, you know, on the right side of 30 by a long shot, 26 years old, producing the way that he has for the Astros. Look, if I had my druthers, I would have re-signed Alex Bregman this offseason. If they would have listened to Sean Bajani, Alex Bregman would still be a Houston Astro for not $40 million per year, but probably something close to it. But I like the deal so far that the Astros had made. You know, totally kind of unrelated, you know, because remember you traded Tucker to the Cubs, and Bregman just left for $40 million per year to the Red Sox. You got Paredes, you got Cam Smith, you got Hayden Wisniewski. I like that deal.
You know who feels vindicated Astros. About this?
Who?
Jim Crane.
Oh, probably
Jim
so,
Crane
yeah.
has, you know, Isak Paredes, who's got, you know, tied for the league lead in home runs among third basemen.
Yeah.
For $6.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
With two more years of arbitration, so mm-hmm. two more years of team control, versus $40 million. And Bregman has hit the snot out of the ball. You know, he's been an MVP candidate. Not ahead of Aaron Judge, obviously, but mm-hmm. MVP candidate. And well, now he's on the aisle. And look, the truth of the matter is older players are more likely to get hurt than younger players.
Mm-hmm.
And guys who have had a history of leg injuries in their 20s are probably going to have a history of leg injuries in their 30s. I certainly wish the best for Alex Bregman. I have no ill will towards Alex Bregman. Alex Bregman got a friggin' bag. And there is not a person in this universe that was going to pass up that kind of a bag, no matter what business you're in.
For that team, too, in that ballpark.
If you are going to be paid the absolute most money for what you do in the entire world, you're taking the job.
Yeah.
I don't care if what you do is sit on your butt and play tiddlywinks. If somebody's going to pay you an obscene amount of money to do it, you're going to take it.
Do you think there's no telling how long this injury is going to take for Bregman to kind of recover from? You know, it's the quad injury.
Listening to Alex Cora, it's like a 2 to 3 month injury.
Is it a strain? I think
yeah,
is that
strain
the
quad
word
is
that I saw
is what they're saying.
So strain quad,
or what the Astros would call discomfort.
Now, for the Red Sox and Alex Bregman, he's got an opt out after this season and an opt out after the following season as part of this 3 year, $40 million per year deal that he'd signed with them this offseason. Does this make it more likely that Alex Bregman opts in to the second year of this contract?
Oh, I never thought Bregman was not opting in. He is,
but given the start that he had, like
he is paid so far over market
mm-hmm.
that even if he carried this type of play the entire year, he's still not worth more than $40 million a year. Like, he is paid so far over market. Nobody else, for what Alex Bregman is, nobody else is getting that.
The reason why I ask,
he's making Aaron Judge money.
It's less about the AAV for me. Just I was looking at the start, and I'm thinking, okay, if Alex Bregman has this career type year, the one that he'd had with the Astros, I think it was 2019, where
he finished second in the MVP,
second in MVP,
should have won because but Mike Trout, of course, missed like 50 games.
But if he has that kind of a year for the Red Sox, could he maybe opt out, test the free agent market again? He's probably not going to get $40 million AAV, but what if he gets like a 4 or 5 year contract somewhere else for more money during that time span? Maybe it's closer to like 33 to 35 AAV, but we're talking about like a normal contract with no opt outs, and it's all the guaranteed dollars, and you know you're going to end your career possibly with this team for the next 4 or 5 years.
If I were Bregman, I would stay in Boston.
I think it's probably...
The ballpark is literally tailor-made for sure. His swing. He is smashing the snot of the ball. He's very quickly become a fan favorite in Boston, just as he was a fan favorite here. There's a lot of things like about Bregman. I do not see him opting out. I certainly do not see him get... I feel like he's going to finish his career as a Red Sox.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't, it's going to be that one-off season where at the very, very last year of his career, he goes to like some oddball team, and that's the only year he plays there. I would think there is probably a, you know, depending on where the Astros are at that point, there might be a chance he comes back home as either a third baseman or a DH type of thing. Because by the time he's ready to wrap his career up in 7 years, well, Altuve's going to be gone.
Yeah.
And Yordan's going to be gone. Because let's face it, they are not going to give Yordan another... They gave Yordan a long-term contract because they bought out a bunch of arbitration years. They're not then going to follow that up for a guy who doesn't play the field and gets hurt as often as Yordan gets hurt.
Yeah, I just wonder what Yordan's asking price is going to be, like, given his injury history and lack of versatility or flexibility positionally.
Going to be very high.
Yeah,
you know what? I'm going to, realistically, if there is a way to trade Yordan,
The half,
because you've got to get something for him.
Oh.
Otherwise, you're looking at losing him and getting a draft pick.
Look, man, we had these conversations about Bregman and Tucker like we did this past offseason. I don't want to hear that right now. That makes my ears hurt. That makes my heart hurt.
You got plenty of time before you hit that.
Yeah,
you got plenty of time.
I don't want to think about it, man. Come on. What are we doing?
But in reality, like, if you think about what the Astros lineup might look like, say, in 7 years.
It's too hard.
And maybe Alex Bregman finishes his career, gets his last year back in Houston. But if I'm Alex, dude, I'm not leaving Boston. Mm. No way.
713-572-4610. Yesterday, Knicks got back in the series against the Pacers. 106-100, the final. The Knicks having to come from behind yet again. Trailed by 20 in the first half. Trailed by 16 midway through the third. Trailed by 10 into the fourth quarter against the Pacers. Another hell of a finish for the Knicks. And Jalen Brunson, along with Julius Randle, leading the way for those guys in that game. I think I said they combined for 54 points on some great shooting. I think they shot nearly 59% for the game. But I need to double check. That might be the Minnesota game that I'm thinking of in terms of the shooting percentage. The Knicks shot 44%. Yeah, 44% for the game. Hit 11 of 32 from three, but they got to the free throw line yesterday, PC. And they hit him 27 to 30, something they had not done with regularity in the first couple of games.
No, they've been missing free throws like crazy.
Yeah, it's
and
cost them.
For those of you wondering, holy cow, 30 is a lot of free throws. Well, the Pacers got 33.
Yeah.
So, you know, all that talk about Scott Foster being the equalizer. Mm-hmm. And well, the Pacers went to the line more than the Knicks did. The difference really was the Pacers couldn't buy a three.
Mm-hmm.
The whole reason the Knicks got back in this game and outscored the Pacers by 16 in the fourth quarter,
man,
was the Pacers couldn't buy a three.
No, they were miserable. Miserable. Jalen Brunson, 23 points. He couldn't hit the threes either, but he got to the free throw line yesterday. He, along with Cat Karl-Anthony Towns, combined for 47 points, as my wires were crossed.
And how many games do we have to see Brunson and Cat with five fouls each?
Yeah, well.
Like, what other team, their two star players, are constantly getting rung up for, like, ticky-tack touch fouls?
And they were yesterday. Here is the Q&A after the game yesterday when Brunson joined inside the NBA. Charles Barkley, Shaq, Kenny Smith, Ernie Johnson. They were interviewing him after the game. Listen to this question from Charles Barkley, and you tell me what you think exactly he was trying to get accomplished here.
Jalen, what the hell is up with Tibbs, man? Y'all bitch technically won this game for y'all tonight. Does he ever explain to y'all, like, I'm going to play guys, I'm not going to play guys? Because you got to admit it's kind of damn wacky.
Ooh, I had a great comeback. Well, let me stop.
Don't hold back.
I mean, like, I got the utmost faith and confidence, man. Regardless of what people say on the outside, respectfully, whatever you guys do say, I mean, we're a close-knit group in that locker room.
What was going through Charles's mind as he's asking that question? Do you think it really meant, he really meant for it to come across as, hey, let's see if I can get Jalen Brunson to throw his coach under the bus after a big win in game three? Or was he trying to ask something else and it just came out that way?
No, I think he was looking for the giant zing moment. Like, he was looking to get a super buzz clip, right? Your coach don't play nobody, you know, doesn't want to make adjustments or whatnot. And Jalen just shot it down. He wanted to see if he was going to get a quip or some kind of funny comeback,
mm-hmm.
or if Jalen would say something, like, you know, really hard. There's a lot of different options of, hey, if Jalen says X, Y, or Z, we have something viral.
Yeah.
But instead, Jalen just shot it down.
Yeah. I mean, I thought Jalen handled it as about as good as you possibly could. I really would have liked to have known what his one-liner comeback was that he decided to hold off on. Or if that's just something he kind of said in what was an awkward moment because the question was weird. It was awkward. It was, very, like, he pelted him with that. And I think Jalen maybe said that to kind of quickly come up with something else on the fly, which he did about the only thing I think you could have done. But I don't get a chance to watch a lot of the inside NBA. I know Chuck's kind of a knucklehead and he'll say things like that in the course of conversation. But when interviewing a player on a winning team like he did last night with Brunson and the Knicks, to ask that kind of a question, hey, let's see if I can get you to throw your coach under the bus and criticize him for the way that he's playing guys. I know Kenny Smith said, I think it was in the same show, like, Thibodeau wouldn't play nine guys in a baseball game.
And so that's it.
You know,
these guys for the studio show
mm-hmm.
have been talking for days about how Thibodeau won't make adjustments. Thibodeau won't play his bench. Thibodeau's gassing his guys. And look, if you follow Tom Thibodeau's career, this is what he does,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, he's always playing the starters big time minutes. They're going to play, 35, 38, 40 minutes. He runs his starters to the ground, and that's been a criticism of his entire career. And this game yesterday is the first time he went nine deep. And Landry Shamet got 11 minutes and Dallon Wright got 13. Josh Hart played 34 minutes. He actually didn't start. He had been starting. They started Mitchell Robinson because they wanted more help on the boards and more shot blocking and defense. Miles McBride got 15 minutes. So his starters, instead of playing 40 minutes, I mean, Michael Bridges and OG Anunoby each played 37 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But Cat played 33 and Brunson played 31. Mitch played 29. So those guys got more rest time than they usually get. And as a result, they had legs in the fourth quarter. If you go back to that game, the game two.
Game two, yeah.
Right? Where, like, the Knicks, like, fourth quarter, like, they should be in this game. This is a tie game going to the fourth quarter,
mm-hmm.
and their shots are all falling short, right? It's front of the rim. They didn't have the legs. They didn't have the air. And it's like, well, why aren't they able to hit any shots? And it's just like, well, you look at what these guys said. Michael Bridges played 45 freaking minutes.
Yeah.
Well,
it was coming off of a very emotional game one, and yeah, you had a day of rest between those, but that was a hard fought game one, and to lose like that.
And the Pacers play a really fast pace. You are up and down. So when Michael Bridges is playing 45 minutes.
He can't.
And Brunson's playing 39, and OG's playing 36. So he's a big dude playing 36 minutes. Like, these guys are just out of gas.
Yeah, and you can't. Look, you can criticize the guy. I just thought it was kind of a weird, you know, spot to put Jalen Brunson in after a game like that. That's maybe something, you know, you ask him in a bit of a different way, like after the series is over, win or lose, like, hey, is this something, you know, you kind of regret, you thought was kind of, you know, wonky, maybe Tibbs should have reconsidered playing you guys so much and, you know, gone more to the bench in some spots in the first half and the third quarter to give you guys a breather and get your legs about you in the fourth quarter where it feels like all of these games are going to be decided going forward. Like, I could see that, but it's just, I know Charles is brash. I know Charles don't hold back, but that was just kind of weird and uncharacteristic for me. And Brunson, if you were going to do it to anybody, I guess, he's probably the guy you're going to ask that type of a question to. Brunson's a very personable guy. He's going to handle it about as good as anybody could in under those circumstances.
And look, if Brunson had said anything that could be construed as not being on board with his coach.
Inflammatory, yeah.
It's the biggest story in the NBA right now.
Uh-huh.
And that clip would be 50 million views right now.
Yeah. I just.
This is what they're looking for. Every one of these talk shows, it doesn't matter what channel, what sport, who it is. They all have people tell them, if you get the viral moment, you get a bonus.
Yeah, does Chuck need that? Does Chuck subscribe to that usually? Or is it all unto his own? It's usually through the course of conversation.
And the conversation had been a lot about how Tom Thibodeau had, you know, not used his bench for two games and overran his starters. And now here in this game, they finally start using guys. So as part of their broader conversation, is it the kind of question you should be asking a guy who just won? No, but the reason that they're asking it is they're looking for that viral moment.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Chuck's got him right there. And if he doesn't ask it and somebody else does, and then, you know, Jalen gives an answer that goes crazy viral.
Yeah.
All of those guys are getting kicked.
You would have gotten a better response if you would have asked it in, like, the glass half full, right? Like a more positive, like, hey, tonight Tibbs relied on the bench a little bit more and it seemed to help you guys out in the fourth quarter, help you get the dub, have the energy to get this win tonight. What'd you think about
right,
that?
Right, but now you're talking about act like an actual reporter. They're not reporters.
I get it, but
they're entertainers.
You're also looking for the reaction, and you're going to get a better reaction, I think, if you play a little bit of the game with a guy like Jalen Brunson, who helped them win said game last night. Coming up next, making sense of what some are calling the most pivotal week in college football in years. We'll break it down for you next. It's Area 45.